Hey, this week's episode brought to you commercial free by not my annoying sounding voice. Welcome, golf enthusiasts, to Playing Through Golf Podcast. My name is William Starchvich. I'm joined today by
Travis White
and Chris Lopez.
All right, so this is our special midweek episode because it's
Masters
baby. Bring it. Hey, so we'll touch on real quick the Sony Open, or I'm sorry, the Houston Shell Open was this last weekend. And we'll go into that just real quick, and then we'll get into Masters discussion. Travis, you got any info on the Shell?
Carlos
Ortiz
won it by 2 strokes over the weekend.
Oh, the world-famous Carlos Ortiz?
Ranked 160th in the world.
160th in the world.
He beat out DJ by a couple strokes.
This guy's got some game.
Hideki Matsuyama by 2 strokes. Brooks Koepka by five.
You said Day was in the field, too?
Jason Day was in it. Harold Varner, who always comes down to the Classic.
Yep.
Tony Finau.
So there was some names.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he was a first-time winner?
Very first-time winner.
Very cool. And I don't think that gets him into the Masters, but still it gives him a tour exempt going forward for
right.
a couple of years
mm-hmm.
and gets him into, I believe, the Sony and plus the tournament players,
right.
I believe.
Yep,
So that good for him. And he probably had a pretty healthy paycheck.
Absolutely. Probably more than he's ever seen.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And I know that all over the last few years, we've had a lot of first-time winners now,
yeah.
right, at that event and on the regular tour.
Right.
So I think, I don't want to say some of the old guard is sloughing off. But
they're just not playing as often.
Yeah, and especially some of those fringe events. Like this yeah. one, not necessarily a fringe event.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that's kind of what we would see at Deer Run, the John Deere Classic, when it was going on because the British is the week after.
Right.
And you wouldn't get the bigger names always going to it, but
you get a lot of the new guys, I mean, and people that are, you know, some of them are struggling to keep their card. I mean,
that's
the one thing when you watch the Deere Classic is you see these guys grinding, man. They're just trying to stay relevant.
Yeah, they would need to make money because they take the top, I think it's 125 keep their card.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then they take, I think it's the top 25 from the Corn Ferry, get the card for the next year.
Right.
And then you have some Q School guys going through.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, I'm done talking about the show because this is goddamn Masters Week.
It's Masters Week.
All right.
This is golf porn.
This is awesome.
Yeah, this is golf porn.
So, you know, it goes off,
Thursday morning
is round one.
Yep.
I know a lot of the guys are there already. And a lot of them are first-time guys.
Yeah, Morikawa.
Matt
Wolf
is first-time.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's kind of cool. They're going to get to play it twice in the span of, 5 months or whatever it is?
Yeah, 4 and a half, I think.
Yeah.
I was watching some interviews with both of them, and their whole thing was, you know, I haven't really asked a whole lot of people about it. It's kind of a straightforward golf course. And I'm like, is that really what you guys think?
Yeah,
I wouldn't think that. If I were in their shoes, very first time playing there, there's no way I would think that.
Yeah, that's the only thing that Matt Wolf said that he got was from Marco Mira. He said, play more break than you think, and that's probably going to be good
yes.
advice.
Yep.
Now, I was watching an interview with Adam Scott, and he was talking about how different – who's a master champ.
Right.
He's a reigning champ – or not the reigning champ, but he's a past champion.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the turf conditions difference this year compared to years past. Well, we're playing in November,
mm-hmm.
right, instead of April. So the turf there at Augusta is Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they scalp away all the Bermuda grass, and then they overseed ryegrass.
Right.
And that's how you do it in Florida, well, the southern states, Arizona. I have
right.
lots of experience with that one in Arizona.
Right.
And they overseed ryegrass. And they grow it back in, so you're basically playing on dormant Bermuda overseeded ryegrass. So what they're talking about at the Masters this year is, well, it was 74 degrees here in Illinois
mm-hmm.
today. So it's been warm there. So that Bermuda that they scalped out is already growing back. So it's going to look fantastic. But the thing is, it's going to play really slow, really forgiving, and really long.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that those banks, like on 12, isn't going to be shaved down enough where the ball's going to roll in, but it's probably going to be more forgiving if you hit the fairway. It's not going to roll into the pine straw. They don't really have a whole lot of rough right. At Augusta.
A lot of times.
And didn't Rory say the other day, it is playing a little differently, a little thick. It's like a thicker feel to it.
Yep, because in the spring, you're looking at that Bermuda grass has probably had several frosts on it. The soil temps haven't warmed up yet to get it to start growing. Right now, it's warm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're trying to pump that ryegrass, so they're pumping the Bermuda too. So it's going to be a little bit of a different, like I said, it's going to play slow and long. And then they're due for some rain this week too. So the course is already suited for a big hitter. Does that eliminate three quarters of the field in your guys' opinion?
It could.
It could, but I could also see somebody that would just hit the ball straight, hit fairways, and then just, you know, shoot for par. But, you know, like DeChambeau is going to try and swing. He's going to swing out of his shoes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's always a guy like say, Zach Johnson.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a guy like Zach Johnson that's not going to overpower the course, but they're going to stay consistent enough and hope that the big hitters make a lot of mistakes.
So Zach Johnson, the year that he won, I can't remember the year, but famously he never went for any of the par fives in two.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wedged it to death, but he is clearly a world-class wedge player.
Right.
Yeah.
It got him a green jacket. So for that to happen this year, I could see that being a possibility. And some guys, I think, may take that approach because the fairways and rough are going to be overseeded ryegrass and playing long and slow, they have what's called a sub-air system on the greens, so they can make them as hard and fast as they want.
Right.
So a sub-air system, basically they can pump warm air in to warm up the turf so it's growing, and they can also suck the moisture out of it to make them hard.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really shave them that short. They suck the moisture out. They roll the crap out of them. You know, probably do a quadruple cut.
Yeah.
And well, they get that stamp up around that 14 or 15
I texted crazy. You on Sunday. I was reading up on a few things on what they do to the greens. When they mow, they'll make a pass, but they'll turn around and mow that same exact pass.
So you double cut the same line in two different directions, exactly two directions on the same line.
Yep, and then they'll roll it.
Yeah, that's – and then suck the moisture out of the ground.
Yeah.
So it's – you could be like – yeah, you could be playing on, you know, what you're considering a soft condition bordering on flyer lies there, hitting into a green that's going to, you know, respond about like a, you know, pool tabletop. You know, that's how they could do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's several sets of tees. I'm not sure what the Masters is going to be playing at.
But is it going to be like Gary McCord said a few years ago when he said they've been hit by bikini wax?
Oh,
got himself permanently banned from the golf course.
Yeah, but he's fun. I like Gary McCord.
Yeah, I always thought that was just absolutely ridiculous.
Would you rather listen to Gary McCord or Johnny Miller?
Yeah. Oh, don't.
McCord.
Right.
Yeah. Seriously.
Johnny Miller. Like,
yours, Johnny Miller. Jesus. Like,
okay. Yep. We get it. Yep. You won a U.S. Open. We get it.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. We get it. Mm-hmm. So
you were a prodigy, but didn't really do squat
after that. Yeah. So, anyway, I think some of the big hitters are definitely DeChambeau. I've already picked as. He's my guy for this. I think he's going to be able to make some noise. And I already have a wager that he's going to finish ahead of Tiger.
Right.
With Jacob. So some of the guys that get into this event is one of the things that I think really make it special. Do you know, guys know how it works for the selection? Because it's an invitational.
Right.
I do not.
Okay, so anybody who's a former champion.
Yeah, gets to go.
Yeah, has a lifelong pass.
It's automatic.
Yep, so.
Because, like, isn't Sandy Lyle still playing?
Probably. And I saw that.
I mean, he's like as old as
was it? I think last year was Ian Woosnam's last year, I think, said he was going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, for, you know, spark plug, fiery little guy, he got all choked up last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, you know, I was never really a Woosnam fan, but it was kind of cool to.
Oh, I was never a Woosnam fan just because I remember the one year he blamed his caddy for
the extra club in the bag at the British.
Club in the bag. And it's like, bud, it's your bag.
And he was all mad and threw it. So, what they do is past champions and then U.S. Open champs for 5 years. So if you're automatically in.
Mm-hmm.
PGA champ for 5 years. Winner of the Players Champ for 3 years. Here's one I didn't know, but they also take the current Olympic gold medalist just that year.
Really?
Yep.
No kidding.
Yep. So, and here's the thing that I think makes this event special is they take the first and second place. So the winner of the U.S. amateur and the runner up. I think that's super cool.
That is cool.
And I'm not sure about this, but I feel like that's how Tiger got in to hit the one he won in 97.
He won a US amateur before.
He won three in a row. Yeah. So he got to play the course three
didn't
times.
Didn't make the cut the first time out.
Right.
But he was still amateur status, I believe.
Yeah, and then he turned pro, but he still was the invite from the year before, I think. I'm not positive on that, but it seems like that would fit. And they take the British amateur champion, Asia Pacific amateur, Latin amateur. Here's one that I think is kind of cool that gets in, the U.S. mid-amateur, which U.S. mid-amateur you have to is an age bracket. I think it is 25 to whatever, like 50 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. The first 12 players, including ties from the previous first four from the U.S. Open, British Open first four, PGA first four. The winners of the PGA Tour events that award a full point allocation for the season-ending tour championship. Mm-hmm. So that's where that guy would have possibly gotten in, but he didn't. So anyway, I just think those – and there's other world rankings and stuff that get other guys in there too, but I just love the fact that they take all those amateurs.
Right.
And at the award ceremony, when you see them at – it was a Butler Cabin. They have the low amateur there.
Yeah.
And he gets a trophy too, but it's when they're presenting the green jacket, so he's there.
Yeah, so he's there.
They make a big deal about it.
And he gets the full TV treatment of all of that.
Right.
You know? So I think it's really cool.
And so Bobby Jones is one of the designers at Augusta National. He never turned pro. And do you guys know what his rationale for that was? He said he always wanted to be able to use the front door, and pros were looked down on back then. So he was like, I'm going to keep my amateur status, and that way I'm a welcome guest here. I'm not lurking around the back like a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was true in tennis, too. I mean, for many years, I mean, people like Connors, they went pro, and everybody couldn't stand him anymore.
Really?
You know, it was because they were making money. But it's the same reasons when they would go to places. You wanted to go in the front door. Everybody thought you were like a snake if you were making money doing
this. Right, you're trying to swindle somebody.
Yeah.
Slur is kind of how they looked at him, I think. Mm-hmm. Which, let's be honest, that's kind of how Rich Beam was when he was coming up.
Well, yeah.
In El Paso, he was playing for money.
Well, Lee Trevino would be.
Lee Trevino's perfect example.
Perfect example of that. I mean, that guy,
that's what he did.
That's all he did.
Yep,
And he'd still probably take your money.
Yeah, probably.
He'd probably still take your money.
Wouldn't be that hard to take mine right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I did last week.
Wow.
Sorry, it was lunch. It was good, though.
It was good, though.
It was very good.
Lame. And then I turned around on when we play Rustic.
Right.
And shoot three over.
Yeah, then I played so much better. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of lunch, should we talk about what they're actually serving tonight? Since they're having the players' dinner?
Yeah, let's say Tiger Woods. What is he, the four-time or five-time champ there? I can't even remember now.
You know what? I don't even know.
Four, I believe.
Yeah.
So he's – they have a tradition there, the champions' dinner, where the previous year's champion, they get all the other champions together, and they have their dinner. So just think about that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, think about the history in that room.
Right? I mean, Jack.
Yeah.
Gary Player. You know, you have Phil in there. Mm-hmm. You have Tiger, clearly.
He has won five times, and he's been in the top five seven other times in his 22 appearances.
Yeah, that course just suits him, man.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a cool tradition that the guy picks the dinner, and then all the champions from the years past all get together, just them, and they have the dinner.
And the picture they take every year is cool as hell.
Yeah, I think it's just phenomenal.
You just go down, and honestly, I mean, you see these guys age. You know, I think, the one I always think about is Ben Crenshaw. You know, I mean, he was such a young guy when he won it, and then he just watches they all age, you know.
Yeah.
And then the ones that get to do the honorary start, you know, stuff like that. And
which, how many more does Jack have in him?
Well, that's did they say they're bringing Lee Elder in next year?
Yeah. Oh, are they really?
Yeah, they're bringing Lee Elder
in.
It's kind of a great representation.
And, you know, fitting for the times right now.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a lot, but it's not just...
That's not the only reason.
Yeah, it's not
no,
the
don't
only
get me
reason,
wrong there.
Yeah,
I mean,
because he's, you know, it's what he's given to golf.
Yep.
You know, and Tiger usually quotes something about him as he's always won every year. And he goes, you know, I have to thank, you know, all the people that were my role models as I was growing up. So
For those of you that don't know, Lee Elder is an African-American gentleman. He's got to be upper 60s now?
Got to be well into his 60s and maybe 70.
Okay. So he's going to be doing honorary tee shot. Okay, very cool.
Yep.
I didn't...
Yeah, that's. I don't think that's till the next one in.
Yeah, 20.
Oh, okay.
I just saw it was 2021.
Yeah, so.
So my guess is last year.
It could be that Jack may be on his way out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Gary Player will ever be out. Just because that guy's in shape.
Yeah, it was Gary and Jack were the ones that hit last year.
He just turned. Gary Player turned 85 2 weeks ago.
And I can guarantee. Guarantee he could do more sit-ups.
Push-ups and sit-ups than any of us.
Oh, yeah. There's no way I could do a push-up.
Yeah, Gary Player was one of the first guys that was doing 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups every day.
Yeah, he was like the Jack LaLanne of golf.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like the Jack LaLanne of golf.
Exactly.
Let's work out.
Well, I remember that commercial that he had when he was flying. He said, I've hit over 1 million golf balls in my career. I'm like, Jesus.
That's a lot of swinging.
That's about how many putts I have.
Yeah.
I've had a million putts in my ear.
Off the green.
Off the green. Oh, yeah.
That's a low blow.
That is absolutely.
My bad.
But yeah. Totally true.
Yeah. So.
No, I'm looking forward to this week. And it's, like I said, I think it's really cool that they're going to get it in. And I think it's going to have to be one of those power hitters just because of the way it's going to play.
Right. Well, it was funny. I was watching Twitter today and a good friend of mine goes, why are all the tee times early? And I'm like, are you serious? And, the time change just in the last week tells you everything you need to know, and it's not April.
Yeah.
So,
they got
to get it in early.
Are they double-teeing? I'm assuming they're double-teeing.
Looks like they're double-teeing them. Yeah. So, yeah. So, it's like, come on, man, pay attention. I think everybody kind of forgets what time of year this is right now.
Yeah.
And so, there's going to be a lot of things different about it. I think there's already a different feel to it.
Well, and there's no stands.
Yeah. No patrons.
Mm-hmm. That's what Wolf and Marikawa were talking about. It's like, hey, no, it's just a golf course now. And I'm like, you guys say that.
Yeah, say that until you're on the first tee.
Right.
Yeah. And, but we talked about this Sunday as we were walking one of the fairways is that, you know, this is where I think it kind of takes Tiger out of it.
I do. That's
what I do, too.
You know, I think
no Tiger roar.
Feeds off
yeah, I mean, Jack was the same way. Yep. I mean, Jack doesn't win in 86 unless the crowd goes bonkers.
Right.
You know, and people don't hear that roar coming to the next tee box, and you're going, oh, what happened? You know.
Well, and then, last year when he was walking up the 18th,
yeah.
All those people following Tiger.
Yeah.
And you can hear that. You know, it's
yep.
That's what they say is it's everything's so close together that when there's something big happening and you get that roar, it echoes throughout the course.
Yeah.
And when Tiger would do something, it was different. You could tell it was Tiger doing something.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a mystery. It's going to be scoreboard watching.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to hear all, just like with the other, you know, the U.S. Open and you're going to hear all the bad things that happened to some of the dirty language.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anybody who thinks that there's not a lot of dirty language going out there, all they had to do is listen in this year.
One thing I think would be cool. I know professionals don't like doing it, but have somebody mic'd up out there just to see what they talk about.
Yeah.
Which I understand, like DeChambeau at that time.
Well, I think they've done that a little bit on some of the off tournaments this year, where they've gotten a little closer and listened to some of those what they talk about.
It's personal, and you don't need to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, but do you remember the verbiage that he used?
I do not.
He said, you're going to damage my brand.
Oh,
so he's kind of...
This is why I'm not picking this guy. I don't even care. I'm not picking him. I refuse. The guy's probably going to tear the course apart, but I am not picking him. There's no way.
You would think you would want to hear what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hit the ball as far as I can.
Well, I think you'd have to have a degree in math to understand what he's talking about.
Well, yeah, I think, doesn't he have... An engineering degree,
engineering or physics or something.
Yeah.
For God's sakes,
math is not my specialty.
You know.
Really?
It's not.
But it could be. I mean,
why are you keeping score then when we play?
I don't.
You know, and I think I think it would be vaguely.
I should win more often if math's not your thing.
Yeah, I remember standing next to Phil at Cog Hill one year at the BMW and listening to him talk to Bones. I think it'd be very similar. Because literally Phil is picking apart just that one shot sitting right there. Well, this grass is moving this way. Well, it's this kind of grass. There's this much humidity in the air. I mean, the guy would...
Phil is notorious for reading the grain, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll look at a green, and he can tell which way the grain is running, and he's like, okay, well, that's probably going to slow it down about a foot on the stem. Mm-hmm. So I have positive grain for the first three quarters, and then it goes against grain.
Right.
So, and you can tell, I mean, if you're looking for it, I don't really take it into consideration because I'm just hoping to get in a 3-foot circle.
I just want to get it right. Somewhere like, where you can put the next one in.
Yeah, I have a shot at the next one.
Yeah.
No, I'm hoping for you guys to tell me to pick it up and I can move on.
Yeah, that, well. How many times has that happened for me?
I bet you didn't count it
on one hand.
Yeah, it didn't happen a whole lot when you guys were playing the last time.
So, I was getting bitter.
But I think that, you know, I mean, even Bryson, they've talked about some of his workouts, too, where he, you know, they'll say, oh, it's going to be kind of wet and rainy, and he will have his guy literally put water on the ball and hit it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that is just way too much attention to detail.
Yeah, they were actually talking about the possibility of just because the turf conditions of there being more mud balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Augusta's not going to be a place where they're going to say lift clean in place.
Right.
You know, there's too much pride, too much money.
Figure it out.
It's the Masters, right? It's called that for a reason. You know, and the course is set up the way it is, so it tests.
Can you imagine Bryson
everything.
No hitting a mud ball?
No.
Oh God.
That bud's not going to be on there very long. It's not going to be on there very long.
Well, and I, what was it? I think it was Rory that was talking about. He played with Bryson and was like, "This, he's hitting it in places that I never."
Yeah.
And you're talking about the number two overall driver, I think. Mm-hmm. Number three, maybe something like that. For being a smaller guy, he just crushes it.
Yeah,
right?
I saw a video today. DeChambeau, his ball speed was 201.
Yeah, he's going.
Yeah,
I saw a 211 too.
Yeah, earlier in the year he carried one over 400.
Well, he's and now you know everything that he put out this last few weeks was that 211 ball speed, and that was with the 46-inch driver, and he's going to go to a 48-inch driver. And so. Just think, if he can dial that in going in, he's going to be hitting 375 carries pretty regular.
Yeah.
And the thing about Augusta is there's not a whole lot of position play off the tee. It's all drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking the par fives and you're essentially making them par fours.
Yeah, he's setting himself.
I mean, that's the key to that course. I mean, if you can dominate the par fives. You're in pretty good shape. You're pretty good shot to win.
If you're 4 or 5 under each round, you're going to be, in that 20 under range.
And I think they should have a bet on Tiger's first tee shot going right into the. I mean, because it seems like every year, even whether he's win or lose, it seems like his first tee shot
is
always.
And then he puts his head down and just goes like that.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
I was going to say I'm not going to argue.
I just get a kick out of when. You know, the first on the tee from, Winter Garden, Florida, Tiger Woods. But different than when they go to other events and they announce, like.
All of his winning.
Yeah, all the winning.
Have
and you're
seen
just like.
Him and Phil on the tee?
Yeah, so when they were announcing Tiger Woods' accomplishments, I could see where that would make Phil a little saucy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not Phil or Tiger.
Well, Phil's won 4 green jackets? 3?
I'm going to say Phil's accomplished.
The only thing he hasn't won is a U.S. Open.
Right.
Yeah.
Which he's.
Yeah.
I mean, might be over.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's had plenty of chances, and then, some of them ended up in the beer garden and a few other places.
especially at Wingfoot the last time.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Well, you got to think this next U.S. Open would be kind of a home track for him, too, at Torrey Pines.
Right.
Can't really remember his successes at Torrey Pines.
His game hasn't dropped a whole lot.
No.
I mean, he still could put. I mean, the problem is it's like watching Freddie at the Masters. I mean, he'll put it in 2 rounds, but then by the time he gets to the 3rd and 4th rounds, you can see he's running out of gas.
Yeah.
He's falling off.
Yeah, he's running. He's running out of gas.
Yeah, Phil. Well, we actually talked about this on episode 1. Phil's driving distance has increased like almost 40 yards since he first came on tour.
Mm-hmm. He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, it's almost. I don't want to say weird looking, but
he's an odd dude anyway. I mean, you throw the sunglasses in.
Yeah, it's not just the sunglasses.
The Oxford shirts.
Yeah, the button down.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, stop.
I'm gonna start wearing them.
No, you're not playing with us.
Yeah. You'll pop a button.
Yeah, I would.
The thing, it's not just sunglasses that he's wearing. He's wearing mirrored aviators.
Yeah.
He is.
I mean, is this 1987, 1986? Is Top Gun coming out again? Well, actually, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Hmm. But, I mean, seriously, how many guys, I mean, if you look back in the history of golf, I mean, how many guys, when they hit their 50s, were talking about hitting bombs?
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, Jack wasn't talking that kind of smack.
No.
I mean, he wasn't doing that, you know, I'm going to go out and hit some bombs. You
know? I'm trademarking it. I'm hitting bombs.
Hitting bombs. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Good for him, though.
But he's a different... I mean, he's always been kind of a different sort. I mean, he's a swashbuckler when it comes out there.
Yep.
I mean,
Riverboat gambler.
Yep, he will not... He just does not care. He will do what he wants to do.
And that's what makes him fun to watch.
Yeah.
Now, what is infuriating when you're really rooting for him is the 3-foot putt that he misses by a foot and a half.
Or he's on your fantasy guys. You know, he's part of your fantasy team, and you're like, oh, seriously?
Like, there's times that I think he does shots just so he can try to recover from it.
Right.
Like, oh, no, I can hit this off the cart path. That's cool. But then he does, usually, you know.
But when he doesn't, then he's in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it's all, woe is me.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm really, really looking forward to this. And then, like we talked about on the last episode, is there's really no downtime this year.
No.
There's just a couple of weeks off. I think it's the Thanksgiving week and Christmas week. And then it's really kind of right back into the season.
Then they just revert back to the old schedule.
Yep, the old schedule. And I don't think there's any plans for spectators just yet, even though...
Given the way we are in this country right now, I don't see them putting... I think some of the smaller events might, you know, and maybe a lot of that will be for the people that are the sponsors.
Well, didn't they allow 2,000?
2,000 a day.
Yeah, but 2,000 is what they have. Well, actually, I think it's like 5,000 on 16 at TPC Scottsdale for the waste management. I think there's 5,000 at that hole.
Yeah.
Well,
so if they're only allowing 2,000 at Scottsdale.
Literally, that looks like a football stadium when you roll in there. Gee, mini Christmas.
I've played that course, and it's funny. You go through, you're looking at it, and you're like, it's already kind of stadium.
Right.
It's called the stadium course, TPC Stadium course. And it's already kind of built up like that. And then I just envisioned you're walking under the bleachers and they come out and they're right above you.
Right.
And on the sides and they're yelling. And
yeah, I mean, that's got to be something that is just completely bizarre.
Do you guys, you know, this is a sidetrack. Speaking of Scottsdale, so when Gary Woodward brought up the handicap girl and she actually hit the shot, she put it in the bunker. Everybody was still cheering for her. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you want to finish out?
And she made the putt.
And she hits up out of the bunker, which I'm always impressed with a bunker shot that makes it out onto the green.
Especially under those conditions.
And out of that, yeah, just like I said, 5,000 people around. She gets it on the green, and then she makes the putt.
Yeah.
And then he stayed in contact with her.
Yeah, he's still in contact
still
with her.
Still in contact
and
with
then
her.
She
played college golf.
Did she go when he won the U.S. Open at Pebble that year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she was there, right?
They went on Ellen DeGeneres the following week.
Oh, did they really? Yeah. That's awesome. Because I have a stepbrother or a half-brother that's special needs, very similar. And I think that's awesome. He didn't have to do any of that, and he did.
No, he did.
And Gary Woodward was always a good player.
Right.
And that kind of set him apart. And to me, that kind of showed that he was a real good guy.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's a total side note. Now I'm rooting for him for the Masters. Screw DeChambeau.
Yeah. Hey, I'm right with you on
Screw Patrick Reed.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Oh, that's the top two of ones that you just really could care less.
Ian Poulter.
Get into Race Creek. Yeah. Get in there. Nestle.
Do it. Settle.
Nestle.
So, anyway, you guys got anything else besides Masters?
The one thing that I thought was really interesting, well, first of all, they had the lineup this morning of who was going to talk, and Jason Sobel called it the murderer's row. Of all the different guys that were hitting, I mean, and every one of those guys is a power hitter, you know. But the other thing that was really interesting is that not on that list was a past champion who has struggled since the day he screwed up on what hole was that? Jordan Spieth.
Oh,
hit the one in the drink.
15?
Is it 15?
The par 5?
Yes. Oh, no, par 3.
Par 3, he tried hitting it over,
went
in the water, re-teed, and did it again.
Well, 12 is the...
I think it's a notoriously shallow one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That green is only like, I want to say, is it 12 paces across or something?
Yeah, and there's a bunker in front, right?
No, a bunker back, and its slope in the front goes right into Race Creek.
Yeah. Yep. And they talked about how he's not even on the list of people to talk to. He's really not even being mentioned at all. There was a story that
good
came
for him.
Out, yeah. There was a story that came out middle of the week that said, you know, the guy has literally got it, his wires have crossed.
You know, he's playing that bad.
They just said he's overanalyzing. You know, he's still overanalyzing everything. you know, and they said it started when he was trying to get that extra yardage because they kept talking about it, and he kept listening to people outside of his world that said, you know, you need to get extra yardage if you really want to be great. And it's like, he just won three majors, and they're telling him
it was like three out of five majors he wins. Yeah, uh-huh. But if you really want to be good,
yeah,
look, asshole, are you beating me?
Yeah.
You would think you get to that point, just get up there and hit the golf ball.
No, and you know whose career was ruined because of the same advice was Nota Begay.
Right.
Nota Begay was on the same team at Stanford with Tiger. He came out, and I want to say he won a couple of events on tour, but he wasn't. He was a similar player,
right?
Distance-wise to like Jordan would be, actually probably even shorter than that. So he was like, I need to hit it further. I need to hit it further. And then he ends up hurting his back, and he was never the same after that.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
And now he doesn't even.
And I think when golfers get that way, I mean, I can't think of the last person that's actually come out of the yips. You know, I mean, when you think about Duvall and how quickly he fell.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about all these guys. I mean, Spieth looked unbeatable there for a while, and then it was like, it's gone.
Do you remember how good Duvall was?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so. Tiger's main rival back then was Duvall.
Yeah,
it wasn't really Phil.
Right.
Because Duvall was number one for a while. And at Palm Springs, he shot a 59 in the final round, I think.
Final round.
Mm-hmm. And then he lost a bunch of weight, and his game dropped off a little bit, but then he won the British. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know that he's broke par since.
Well, and here's the funny story about Duvall. I walked 18 with him at the Classic when he was playing with Daly. And, you know, if he could putt at that point, he would have destroyed that course. I mean, he would have absolutely destroyed the course, but he couldn't putt. And his dad was walking on the ropes next to me, and he goes, "He just can't putt anymore." You know, and his dad's just saying he can't putt anymore. Every one of his other shots, I mean, he hit beautifully,
just pure.
And I mean, you could see why he had been the number one in the world. He was hitting a ball that was different than anybody else on the course at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, wow.
Well, do you remember the made-for-TV event with him and Tiger? It was like, I want to say it was the Battle at Bighorn or something like that.
Something like that.
Well, there's one of the tees, there's a big boulder in the middle of the fairway, and it was 300 yards out. And they were all mic'd up. Mm-hmm. And so the caddy goes, "Well, where do you aim at?" I was like, "I'm going to try to hit that boulder out there." And I'll be goddamned, he wasn't directly behind it. Like, it blocked his shot.
Really? Mm-hmm.
He was like, that's where his aiming point was, and he hit it. Right there at 300 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a really precise player, just like a lot of the other really greats, and just something happened.
Yeah, and he wasn't one of those guys that was really outgoing or any of that. He's a little bit more of...
He's still not. I mean, even though he's an analyst,
yeah.
I mean, he kind of pisses everybody else off in the thing, because it's like, you guys really don't know what you're talking about. When you talk about a struggling player, let me tell you about
it. Yeah, here you go.
Let me tell you.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah,
Speaking of struggling players and masters, I mean, is Mike Weir...
Oh boy!
Nope.
Did he ever play the Classic?
I've seen him a few times.
He's the lefty, right?
Yep.
I think he did.
Yeah, he's got that weird takeaway where it does the one piece.
I think he was the same guy that literally blew up on 14, which was where I was the hole captain. Blew up on 14, finished out the round, and then as I'm coming back to go to my car, he is like throwing things all over the place, and his wife's trying to calm him down, and he's just lost it. I mean, he's like, I just don't have it. I think I'm pretty sure that was him.
Well, I want to say, so in Arizona we had these. I want to say they were just Big Skins game, but they called them Pepsi Tour or the Challenge Tour or whatever it was.
Right.
Basically, guys just throwing in a bunch of money in a pot and going playing for cash.
Yeah.
Well, he was playing in one of those, and so was Nota Begay at one time that hosted it at the course I was at. And I was like, Nota Begay's playing in this? What the heck? You know, and he didn't even finish in the top 10. And then I think Mike Weir played in one that was at Trilogy of Estancia. And I was just like, is this like a rehab thing? Are they just trying to get their head straight? Why are they playing in this? Well, now there's the bigger events in Arizona that are like cash prizes and stuff.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of former players playing in them. Like, there was one out at Lake Havasu that a European player played and won.
Do you think they're trying to do that to get their swag back, or?
You know, they say iron sharpens iron, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not iron, you know? That's just padding your wallet, but.
Yeah, maybe they just go, I have a pretty good chance of winning, just get a few dollars.
It's fun. Maybe this guy's going to pay me to be on his team, whatever it is, but.
Well, I think they were also talking today, some of the things I was just kind of watching as I as the day. I can't remember who Phil. I think Phil teamed with Xander.
Yeah, it was Shoffley.
Shoffley, and then they lost to DJ and.
I can't remember who DJ played.
Yeah,
with.
But they lost their they Tuesday betting game.
Their
on
cash
the back
game.
On the cash game on the back nine.
Oh, one more thing with the Masters. They're not doing the par three this year.
I know.
They're not?
No.
That sucks.
That par three was so cool.
We were doing some stuff today, and I looked it up, and they weren't playing it today.
That's too bad.
Tomorrow.
It would be tomorrow. Yeah. You know, that's too bad because it's always good to see those guys with their families or girlfriends.
Yeah, well, Caddy's hit some shots.
Yeah, and Caddy's hit
when Jack's oldest grandson said the day before, he's like, because he always picked one of his grandkids to carry his clubs. Mm-hmm. He went out and he took his oldest grandson. He's like, well, wouldn't it be cool if I hit a hole-in-one tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And he said, you're going to. And he hit one. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty cool because I watched it live. I was like, oh, that was
– Yeah, that on the grounds there, there's – I'm not sure if it's a 9-hole or an 18-hole. But it's a par 3 course. And they take just as good a care of it as they do the regular grounds.
It's gorgeous.
And they have the caddies out there. Families are walking around with them. Like, you always see the little kids in the caddy uniforms, like with all the white. And guys do the trick shot where they try to skip it across on one of the holes across the water onto the green. It's just one of those things that it's really fun to watch. And I don't think there's ever been somebody who won the par 3 won the major.
There's actually been guys that were going to win it. And literally putted it off the green.
Yeah, like, I'm
because
out.
Because they didn't want any part of it.
They didn't want the jinx.
Yeah, they didn't want the jinx.
Yeah, just like, I don't want to be on the Madden cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I don't want to be a Bosworth.
Yeah, I mean, that's too bad. But they're trying to make it, you know.
Safe as possible.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to make it as safe as possible. But the other thing I thought was really entertaining about them not doing the normal things is you can actually buy mail order.
Yeah.
Get a pimento cheese sandwich, whatever they serve, cookies, a commemorative cup. I mean, you can all get it.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get the swag out there.
Yeah, get the swag out there.
They asked Dustin Johnson today, what's your favorite part of Masters Week? He said the sandwiches.
Yeah.
He said he loves the sandwiches.
Well, it's like the people that come to the Classic.
Yeah, go to the Classic. Get a pork chop sandwich, man.
Pork chop sandwich, yeah.
Yep.
Like, I was walking them out of there. You know, when I was there the last time, I had them in my pocket. Right. I'm like, what's up?
Or a Whitey shake, I think. Yeah. They do that off of, what is that, six?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Five or six, yeah. They have the Whitey's.
Well, yeah, they got a booth right there by the clubhouse, too.
Yeah,
but
mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm excited. I'm ready for the Masters. I'm going to stick with the Professor DeChambeau as my pick. Travis?
I'm going to take DJ.
I'm going to take Brooks.
Ooh. Brooks Koepka, huh?
I'm going to take Brooks, only for the mere fact
I would have given $10. I thought you were going to say Jordan Spieth.
No,
just because I remember how much you were British.
Well, you were pissy about it just because.
That's
because
he cheated.
He did not cheat, Bill. He did not cheat. But no, I think I'm going to go with Brooks only for the mere fact. Like today, they asked him. They said, "What do you think about Bryson going to a 48?" And he's like, whatever, man. He goes,
knock yourself out.
He's always like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's just.
He doesn't care.
And I think it works for him.
Yeah, you know? I mean, being that somber dude.
You know, but he's incredibly talented, and I think that he has not been doing real well. He's been injured.
Yep.
His wrist. Yeah. He had surgery on his wrist last year.
I think he's due. I think he's been close there, you know. I mean, he's given it a run.
Yep.
And I think he's doing it.
Well, I think he was top five last year, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was.
Dark horses?
Ooh, dark horse.
I would say one of the younger guys, maybe Morikawa or. I like Matt Wolf. I know he's got that hitch in his swing, but
yeah, it's not
really
a swing.
Hitch.
It's not a swing. It's just legs.
It's his starter.
Yeah,
I was trying to think. Is Cantlay playing?
Who?
Yes.
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, because he's with DJ.
Yeah, so Cantlay is another one that they've talked about, you know, for a long time, and I've seen him at the Classic too. Mm-hmm. Kid's incredibly talented. They think he's due. They think he's got a game for that place.
I would say Wolf is probably my dark horse too.
Yeah.
I always think Jason Day is going to do well, and then he never does.
Needs to win one, but I would like to see him win is Ricky. Is Ricky in?
Ricky always plays well there, too.
That's what
he's
saying.
Finished second. Finished in the top five a lot, you know. And I kind of get tired of watching poor Ricky finish, and he's always there for the winner.
He's always there
for the winner.
When they walk in and turn their scorecard in, he's
He's always that guy. I think I would love to see him win one. You cannot discount Tiger. I'm sorry. You cannot.
No, you can't.
You cannot discount.
Any of the past champions, you have to. Any of the past champions
Anybody
out of the last 10 years,
even
you
Jordan,
have to think.
Even Jordan.
Yep.
I mean, I think you have to give that. I mean, I think whenever, if this were during April, I think this is, you know, the thing that would set Jordan's season off. If he can't do well at the Masters, then that's it. He's, I mean, and he has not done well. You know,
yeah.
You know, he's fallen apart in the fourth round generally now on a regular basis. And but I think Tiger's still got to be in there a little bit. But I think Brooks is going to be my guy today, this year, this week.
I got DJ.
All right. You heard it here first. Uh-huh. Bryson DeChambeau. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
See you next week.
See you next week.